In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've played this game. I've coached this game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, I think we should get into some things related to tonight's, air quotes, game between the 49ers and the Raiders.
It's a big game. It's a grudge match.
I just saw this, though, and I wonder how this resonates with you. Everybody, starting with Adam Schefter at ESPN, is tweeting about it. And it is this. It is that Field Yates, you know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
A reporter for ESPN. While engaging in an activity to determine the draft order in his fantasy football league at ESPN in the Bahamas on the beach, Field Yates dislocated his shoulder.
Oh, my God.
Per sources, the injury resulted in a brief hospitalization. You know what that is?
It's a hospitalization sensation.
Yates has now been discharged and is aiming to be ready for the draft and opening day. This is becoming and I don't think it's a brand new thing. But
no,
I think
it's a thing.
It's gaining popularity, though. Did you see what the A's pitchers did? The A's, or I don't even know if it was just the pitchers or the players. They went up on Mount Davis. And they had a little marker down in center field, and they all threw a ball, and like the distance
to the pin,
closest to the pin, essentially, to determine their fantasy football draft order.
Yeah, that I like. Safe and mostly sound.
Right.
You see a lot of these where it's like obstacle course, or, you know, we're going to run a 40.
Run the 40, and everybody pulls their hamstring.
Exactly.
Have you never done any of these?
I've never been in a league that's done that, no. And nor would I.
Would you?
Yeah, no.
You
would, like if it was like something that was fair, quote unquote. For example, our league, we've got you and me and Steiny and Goo and Grandy and Lucas and, you know, a lot of us here. And like Grandy, for example, is 28. I'm 56. If we did anything that involved like a race or anything that involved like real athleticism, he's got a decided advantage because he's literally half my age.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember when he won the 95-7 The Game knockout tournament at Chase Center?
That was a little cringeworthy because he wanted it a little bit too much. And the trophy still sits right here.
He didn't want it any more than Guru or Bonte wanted it. Guru lost his dang bananas over stuff like that. He's still sharing a video of scoring on me in warmups when I didn't even really know that we were playing.
Oh, you sure did. You tried to close out on him and he put it in your eye.
No, he didn't.
I've seen that video a lot of times.
Wow.
I might go viral.
He backed me in and we didn't even touch one another. That's not defense. I played ball. If someone wants to post me up, there's actually going to be contact if I'm trying to stop you. I'm not defending you. And he's still running around like, did you see what I did? Like,
You know what happened, right? You know what happened.
What happened?
You got served. You got served by the goo.
Yeah, yeah. I like him too much to care, so it's all fine.
Right.
It's just funny.
There's nothing that we could do that would be fair in this space. Like if we did a putting contest, well, Guru, he doesn't golf. And
you'd have an advantage if you're pretty, you're a good putter. And,
yeah, exactly.
You're a good putter.
Exactly. So if we
in
did
fact,
like
you putt when you're not even supposed to putt.
That's just because I'm addicted to putting and I hate chipping.
I tell my sons when we're out there, like you're like 38 yards from the green. I'm like, Dibs would putt this.
No doubt.
And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, no question.
Yeah. 50 yards is about my limit.
Okay.
If I'm outside of 50, then I have to chip it.
I did this on a downhill hole recently. Nobody cares about this, but my son and I had a conversation about it because it was downhill, and I'm like, I see the slope. Like, I can...
Yeah.
And he's like, you're putting this? I go, you come over here and chip it. I'll putt it. Let's play closest to the pin.
Dad wins.
Dad.
Yeah.
Also made the putt.
Well, they also say that your worst putt is better than your worst chip.
Right.
And I always think about that whenever I have, especially a tight lies situation, whatever. But these fantasy drafts where
what if we did something radio-wise?
Well,
whoever could talk the longest without taking a breath.
Then just take the first pick. I mean, or we could do like something trivia. We could pull like pull cards out of a Trivial Pursuit box.
But then the older people have an advantage.
Exactly.
They're looking at Grandy and Evan over here. Don't even know who Nirvana is, for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah, don't let me in there.
All right,
yeah,
fine.
That was awkward.
You know what
He's
I mean?
Your roommate, though. Yeah. But
the other thing is there's strategy comes involved. Like, say it's a 40-yard dash. I might want to try to win, but I don't know if I want the number one overall pick.
This is the greatest point that's been made yet. I don't want number one.
I might purposely try to get in the middle.
I don't want number one. I do not want number one. Christian, I love you, but I don't want number one. And it has nothing to do with Christian or injury concerns. You get number one, your next pick is 20 freaking four.
Yeah, we got 12 teams this year, right?
That's
not 14.
Long wait. I don't want number one at all.
What is the ideal in your mind? Like,
I think the ideal window is somewhere between 3 and 6.
Okay.
Because I think that there are, most people would argue, there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 6, maybe 7 really elite players. And we could be wrong. And there's probably someone who's elite that's not in there. But when you do your Christian and your Breece Hall, some people think Bijan. And then you're going to do your CeeDee Lamb and your Tyreek Hill. And who am I forgetting? Is there another receiver that you're going to put in there? Some people think Jamar, whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
Amon-Ra is going to be up
Ra,
there.
Thank you. That's who I'm forgetting. So there's your 6 or 7 players, and you want one of them, but then I want the ball back as quick as possible. So, yeah, I don't want one. One. Out of here with that.
Well, and the difference between, like, one and, like you're saying, 5 or 6, the point differential is not so great to where you need to have that one because that player is going to be unbelievably so much better than everyone else.
I want someone who can be like the leader of the team and then get the next pick as quick as possible.
Yeah, you'd rather have 6 and 17 as opposed to 1 and then 24 and 25.
We did the family league draft order last night.
Okay, the draft order.
The draft order. I got 3. I got number 3.
What about Tom and Ellen?
They got number 10.
The parents, okay.
10.
And they're a team together.
Christy's dad got 12. I felt terrible.
That's a 12-teamer.
Yeah. We got 12 teams in the family league.
Because your 3 kids, you and Christy, your parents.
My sister, her husband, all her kids.
That's right, okay.
Their boyfriends.
Oh, wow.
Christy's dad. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. We had to turn people away. Sorry, you're not in the family. Yeah. Yeah, we got 12 teams.
Okay, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
So two leagues down, 2 to go for you.
But quick and easy.
Yeah.
Shuffle up the cards, ace through queen. The jack and the queen represent 11 and 12. The ace is 1. Shuffle them up, put everybody's names out, have them draw a card. There you go.
Perfect.
There's your draft order. Nobody got hurt.
So your folks weren't interested in running a 40?
No.
Tom and Ellen?
One of the best ways that
your
I've seen...
Your poor mom coming off a broken leg.
She ain't coming off the broken leg. She can't move. You could give her a wheelchair and she'd come in 12. I love you, Mom, but yeah, that just made me laugh. Yeah, no, they're not going anywhere.
One of the best ways that I've seen a draft order determined recently, I saw it on social media, and it was one of the participants in the league has like a 3-year-old son, and you were supposed to guess how long it would take the 3-year-old son to run a 40-yard dash. Person closest to getting the time on the dot would get the first overall pick, and so on and so forth.
Oh, wow, that's
good.
Fun.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can have the race be with something that's not the people, that's great. If everybody has pets, or if there's I don't know if there are enough babies, like have the, you know
guess
what I mean?
The marbles in the jar or something stupid like
or
that.
Or everybody get their dog and give them one scoop of food and whoever finishes it the fastest or what. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do it as stupid as possible. You can win your league out of any slot.
Exactly. As long as you get the first waiver claim. It's a joke. Anyway, I'm trying to get over it. I may never. That and Steiny getting an extra 20 minutes to make his pick because he was having a senior moment. I think that makes me more angry than you getting a waiver
gift. It should.
Gift.
Mine was completely under normal rules. Plus, by the way, I didn't have to make the pickup. Like, it's not like if you get the first claim, automatically there's a rookie wide receiver that loses his mind that we've never heard
there's
of.
There's usually a player who goes undrafted who pops.
Not
in
like
week
that.
One. That
in
was
week
crazy,
one,
yeah.
Puka Nacua has never happened before. That's why he broke records. And at no point that week did I think that was going to happen. I was just like, that's probably a nice pickup. It looks like this kid can play. I didn't think he was going to go bananas every week for the rest of the year and take everyone's money.
Yeah, you ended up with two of the top, seven wide receivers?
Yeah, I had Amon-Ra and Puka. I still barely made the playoffs, by the way.
Yeah, that's bad management is what that was. Anyway, I'm over it. I won't mention it again.
You're not.
I'm really trying
to
work through it.
You've got
to
get over it.
I will
the
by
draft.
The draft
is five days away.
Yeah.
You got it. By the way, I'm giving you the same deadline I'm giving Ayuk. If you're not over this by Monday at 2 o'clock, you're out the league.
Well, I want my money back then.
That's
I already paid.
Fine.
Everyone's paid.
We'll get your
one.
Money back.
Everyone's paid but one.
He out of town. Give him a minute. Give him a minute.
No, I'm excited about it this year.
Good.
And I'm actually in one of those weighted pick pools again where you pick against the spread and you rank them. I don't know what those are called.
Yeah, I call them a confidence
That's
pool.
What it is, yeah.
Yeah.
With spreads, though, so I'm back in on that, too. So
wanna,
I'm in.
You want to do ours with no spreads?
I'm good.
You want to do a survivor pool?
No, I'm actually good now. I got the fantasy, and I got the picks, and that's as much as my bandwidth will allow.
For pools and fantasy, I'm like the guy with the trench coat with all the watches.
Totally.
Inside, like, I'm like, what do you want? You want a survivor pool? You want a fantasy league?
You got a little bit of everything.
You want a confidence pool? You want to just bet food on games? What do you want? What do you want? I got it.
Yeah.
Got it for you. Anyway. All right. So the Niners are playing the Raiders tonight, sorta. Grandy came in here and asked something. And by the way, for those of you just joining us, Brandon Ayuk's with the team in Vegas. Does that do anything for you, by the way?
Yeah.
It does?
It absolutely does.
Like Garofolo kind of said, do with that what you will. Well, what do you do with that?
He is with the team, which tells me that he is feeling like he's a member of the team. I don't think Trent Williams is with the team.
I would think not.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and he is holding out. And when you're holding out, you don't just show up. And when you're holding in, I guess you do show up. Well, you show up to home games, certainly. And he did. He was in the suite with the other injured players. But to go on a road trip, that, for me, takes a little bit of effort and it takes intention. So if you're really mad at the Niners and you really want out of the organization, you don't fly with them to Las Vegas.
I have reached Andrew Wigginsville on this. The difference is I care. I don't want to know what was going on with Andrew Wiggins. I really don't. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't feel like something.
Well, it's still going on, reportedly.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I heard a report recently that he had, maybe it was Steiny who mentioned it, but he had more family issues, family challenges.
Well, but it could be new ones.
Right.
We don't know what the hell was
going on.
Whatever.
Anyway, I don't even care.
Whatever somebody's got going on with their whole family thing, like I don't feel the need to know. This one feels different, but what I mean by I've reached Wigginsville is like at a certain point, in these, don't you look at it and you're just like, what is going on? Like, you're flying with the team to Vegas? You've been offered a trade to the Browns. You've been offered a trade to the Patriots. You've been offered a trade to the Steelers. You've been offered a new contract. You've been offered an upped contract. You've been offered another upped contract. The Niners called the Commanders. Like, maybe all of this is lies, but like, we've been told all of this and you're hanging out with the team, and you're flying with them. You're going to preseason games, yet no resolution, and press conferences with the head coach where he's like, zero updates.
Yep.
What is going on? This is not...
It's not normal.
This is not comparable to anything I've ever seen before in the NFL. This is new.
Especially when you're holding in and then you're traveling with the team. So you're in Vegas with the team knowing that you're not going to play and it's a road game and it's a preseason game. It doesn't feel like you are that angry with your organization, because if you were that PO'd at the Niners, then you wouldn't go and they wouldn't care that you didn't go. I mean, is he going to be in a meeting, in the walkthrough, in the locker room and all the rest of it? Maybe. Is that something that they absolutely have to have with Brandon Ayuk?
I don't know. I mean, those guys all compartmentalize pretty good, you know? Like, when we say you're mad at the team, I mean, maybe he's completely mad, but it's like, to him, it's like a Jed York thing. And maybe Jed's on the plane. Maybe he's not. I have no idea what Parag and Jed are. Like, I don't think... I know everyone wants to be like, Brandon and Kyle Shanahan are mad at each other. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think there are times where they've been completely annoyed by the process. I think you could see that with Kyle, and it's been reported. Sourced report. Kyle is very, very, like, angry with the way with Brandon's sort of behavior. But does that mean that you can't get on a plane with your organization that's 150 people flying to Vegas and handle it? I know people who are mad at their boss. They go to work the next day.
Yeah. I get that.
It'll work. I don't know, man. I just don't. I don't remember anything like this.
Yeah,
ever.
I don't either. And the hold in has become somewhat of a new phenomenon. But even at that, it feels like he is making efforts to be a part of what's going on with the organization and being on this trip. I don't read a lot into it, but I do think that it's indicative of a player who still wants to be a 49er. If you really didn't want to be a Niner, like Trent Williams, he wants to be a 49er, but he's holding out. And by holding out, he's not around. And when you're not around, you're not going to make a trip like this. But holding in is something totally different, and it's not something that we're used to seeing.
Grandy, what do you got?
There's a video going around on social media right now. It's from Tracy Sandler, who covers the 49ers.
Yeah.
The Niners have arrived at Allegiant Stadium, and they're walking back towards the locker room. Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk side by side walking together. Mean anything?
It has to. I don't know what, but it has to mean something. It has to, right?
I would assume, yeah. I mean, it at least means that he and Deebo aren't mad at each other. Those two aren't fighting.
Yeah, no, I don't think that. The players are fine.
Yes, and so he's there, and he's walking in off the bus with the team. So I think everybody's fine.
He's acting like a 49er.
Right, he's acting like a player who is.
And he is, by the way. He's still in the contract.
He's acting like somebody who's just hurt. And then there's no contract issue at all.
Right.
Just an injured player who's just not going to play tonight. So he's just walking in because it's what you do.
This is getting to be pretty mysterious levels right now. And that's part of the point that I made earlier, which is that if this is not settled by Monday at 2 o'clock, I think the 49ers need to go to new measures. Because if this is in some way, shape, or form going to continue, if this is going to last, I believe you come out of your preseason games, roster cut down Tuesday, the game is 2 weeks from Monday. To me, that's not just a day that I throw out willy-nilly because it's when we get back to work. Like, that is the start of the process of walking toward the game against the New York Jets. And that doesn't mean you're not allowed to still be a holdout. Like, I don't feel the same way about Trent Williams. But this one is so much more complicated. It's been so much more public. It's been so much more angry. All of the trade options that have reportedly been there at one point or another. All of the social media posting that Brandon has done throughout the summer. This is not what the 49ers can withstand as they get ready for a very, very big, high-profile football game. So, yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't get it at all.
And I think that his very presence there indicates to me that it's maybe not as acrimonious as we've all thought that it would be. It also doesn't seem like he wants to be traded, even though he made a trade request. He still is hanging around his teammates and his wide receiver mate. So maybe they are just close to getting a deal done, and it'll get done early next week.
Grandy threw out a question, too. So the reports, and I don't know where we are in terms of facts on this, but like most of the starters are supposed to play some football tonight, right?
Yeah.
Now, and then the word from the Raiders is that pretty much no, and their starters won't be playing tonight. And that would be more the norm. Game 3 in the preseason is not usually a time to go put your starters out there. Your dress rehearsal is game 2. The Niners switched it up a little bit. Why? Probably because of the miss of joint practices, the injury issues that have been there, and then the holdout thing. But the holdouts continue, and tonight they're going to turn this into their dress rehearsal. But Grandy threw out there, this is an interesting question. If the Raiders aren't going to put any NFL players up against you, what do you actually get out of playing your NFL players?
You get the practice of going out there and, you know, doing what you do and running the plays that you want to run, and you break a sweat and you get into some live action. And the other players who are playing for the Raiders, while they're not their starters, they're still going to try to tackle you. They're still going to try to rush you and break up your passes and knock you down when you're out there on the field. So just because you're probably going to be better than the team you're playing against doesn't mean you don't get value out of being in a preseason game.
I get that. Yeah, there's a timing thing to it. Okay, there's
for
the
sure
idea that if a defender does break through into the backfield, they don't have to stop and not hit you. You don't get to wear a different colored jersey or whatever. I understand all that. And, you know, that brings us right back to a conversation, though, we had last week, which is the whole risk-reward thing. And you're probably not going to be calling too many plays that call for a lot of scrambling or that call for a lot of time. Like, you're still going to play that safe.
Everything is safe, and you're not going to scheme or game plan for the Raiders. Like, you're not going to change the plays you want to run based on the fact that they're playing mostly their twos and their threes. You're just trying to do what you do to get ready for regular season football, which is play your quarterback a couple of series, play everybody. Christian McCaffrey won't play, but you're going to play all your guys who are healthy and available a certain amount that you have predetermined is what you need or you want to see. They break a sweat, they go out there and they get loose and they get ready for actual football in 17 days.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm interested to see it. By the way, and I do think this is what most people are going to sit down to watch tonight. It's one thing for Brock Purdy and the whole offense to look really, really bad if a ton of your starters are not in there. But that's going to be a different conversation tonight. If they look bad while Kittle and Debo and Juszczyk and whatever, I know Kristen's not playing, I know Trent's not there, I know Brandon's not there, but if you have some sort of a form of what you think is going to be your offensive line and you actually have some real weapons who can separate and do their things out there, and it doesn't look good again tonight, well, now how you feeling?
Against second stringers, too.
Yep.
So
yep.
I won't feel any kind of way. I won't feel disappointed, or I won't start to panic about what does this mean. It just is a preseason game. And each player who's out there, you have to find your own motivation as to how you're going to go out there and be able to convince yourself that this matters and play hard. But these guys all know that it's a preseason game. So if there's a ball that's thrown that, you know, maybe you would go after and go up and get in the regular season and you don't in the preseason, I understand that. And also the plays that you're going to run are just basic plays. None of it's going to be that dressed up or fancy. You're probably not going to get a lot of, you know, pre-snap motion and shifting and all the other bells and whistles that we're used to from the Kyle Shanahan offense, because you don't want to put that stuff out on tape.
What time does this thing start, by the way?
I believe.
7 o'clock? All right.
Yeah, we've got
Niners or Giants for you tonight.
It'll be Niners.
For how long?
For probably, I'd say probably 2 or 3 quarters.
Whoa!
Watch a lot of it. Yeah, we'll get into it.
You want to check out Brandon Allen and Tanner Mordecai?
And I want to break down, you know, the twos and threes, and really be able to come in Monday and be able to say, you know, with some definition, who I think is going to make this roster at the back end. you know, the final cuts. Markets cut down day
plus,
on Tuesday.
Plus, if you watch three quarters, you do know that you can switch over to the Giants in the seventh inning and it will still be 0-0.
Probably. Yeah.
Not probably.
This might be a two-screener where you got the football on the big screen and you got the baseball on the laptop. It's probably the way I'll go about it.
Hmm.
And then there's always the interruption with bedtime, story time, and bath time. So there'll be a pause that happens.
Yeah. I think that there's some intrigue in this one only because we are now, I guess, what, 72 hours away from all these decisions being made. And I do think you get into a very, very active weekend after this in terms of potential trades that the 49ers will make. You're going to get a depth chart out of this. And I hope you get some sort of clarity about the contractual stuff. We are keenly aware, believe you me, everybody listening, we are keenly aware that the Aiyuk saga, the contractual thing this summer, has sort of reached not just the end. I think a lot of people have been done with it for a while now. If that bleeds into next week, I really don't know what the emotion of the normal fan is going to be. I really think you're going to see some people. And again, not that the Niners act based on how their fans are thinking or feeling, but I really think you're going to get a really, really bad reaction. I think you're just the tone that is going to get set if this is still the story next week is really going to be just a bad thing.
Agreed. And also, if they do look bad again, if they come out and the offense doesn't look good and you didn't have Trent and you don't have Brandon and Christian is still nursing a calf issue, if that's exactly what's going on, you seem to think that it's a bug bite or a bee sting. Or
he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. But if the offense still doesn't look good and Brandon is still unsigned, I think that will add to some of the angst of the fan base. Not that I put any credence into how the offense looks or how the defense looks in a preseason game, because the starters probably won't even play more than a full quarter, if they even play that much. So it just is more about the angst of, okay, preseason's over, cut down day's coming. What are we really doing with this roster?
Do you put anything into this? This has caught my attention just within the last 48 hours. Not that I didn't know about it, but I guess, should we be also surprised that the Cowboys and Bengals haven't signed their receivers either? I mean, there's holdouts going on all over the place. The Reddick situation with the Jets, not done. Jamar Chase with the Bengals, not a peep. CD freaking Lamb.
Right. How does that affect your fantasy draft?
It's not in case. Well, how would you answer that? I did see there are some experts who have arrived as of going into this weekend at the spot of it's time to start downgrading those players a little bit, which is crazy, especially with CD.
Well, because he's a first-round pick.
He's a top five.
Right.
Might be a top three.
So you get, you're sitting there at number four, and he's on the board. What do you do, hotshot? Because he might miss a week. He might miss 2 weeks. He might not play football at all. I think he will, and I do think that all these will get done probably next week. You would figure, right? All these holdouts where, you know, they understand where the schedule is and the teams also understand it. And if you're dealing with Hassan and you want him in there on your D-line, you got to get him in there pretty soon.
Shouldn't we take a page from what we're talking about and realize that all of the angst and the hand-wringing and everything that's going on with regard to both Brandon Aiyuk and Trent is you know, like, you'll hear people go, God, this has robbed me of my excitement for the season. No, it hasn't. I would argue that your emotion around these things is because of your excitement for the season. If you are worried about Brandon and Trent and you think that it's going to lead to poor performances by these players in 2 weeks, why don't you think that about CeeDee Lamb? Nobody thinks that about CeeDee Lamb. I've done drafts with people already. Nobody is worried one tiny bit about CeeDee Lamb. Nobody's pausing about Jamar Chase. No one. But Brandon Aiyuk, oh my God.
Right.
So
Is it because it's the Niners, or is it because of the nature of this hold-in and
probably
the trade
both.
Request and the fact that there's been so much news around it, so many reports about this trade is in place, and Pittsburgh's at the one-yard line, and Ayuk wants to go play with Jaden Daniels in Washington. It feels like there's been a lot more bluster around this situation. Like CeeDee Lamb, he wants a new deal. End of controversy.
Right.
Same thing with Chase. It's like Jamar Chase wants a contract, and okay, that's what we're sitting with. This feels like there's been so much more around it.
I think that like there's a number of ways to answer that, and yes, it's because he's a Niner, and yes, it's the trade request, and it's salacious, and it's doing all its thing on social media. I think that at the absolute base of your question, though, is Kyle Shanahan, and here's what I mean by that: nobody in the world can imagine the Cowboys not signing CeeDee Lamb. Like the Cowboys right. are not moving on without CeeDee Lamb. So even if it cratered week one, like the Cowboys, that is their bread and butter. They are CeeDee Lamb, and CeeDee Lamb is them. Same thing with the Bengals and Jamar Chase. But when you watch the Niners, you look at Kyle Shanahan, and it's similar to what we asked Lockham for yesterday. You can imagine a world where Kyle's like, nope, let's move on. That's what I think it is. And maybe we should take something from that. Like, I can wrap my head around the idea that the Niners are going to move on from Brandon Ayuk.
It's possible. Much more possible than the other two examples yep. you gave. Because you're right, CeeDee Lamb, you're not going to, even if you thought about it back before the draft, you're not going to trade CeeDee Lamb. You're not going to get the compensation that you would need ever for trading one of the top five receivers in the game.
That's how I feel about Trent. Like, I feel about Trent Williams.
Well, that's how I felt with Nick Bosa, too.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You're not trading Nick Bosa.
Like, well, we're going to do this.
Yeah, we're going to do this, and we're going to find the number. We're going to find the time to get this thing done. And that's how it feels with CeeDee Lamb and even Jamar Chase to a similar extent, but slightly lesser than CeeDee Lamb. But you're right, with Brandon Ayuk, and you look at last year, and I ran down the numbers earlier in the show, he had 22% of their targets, and that's it. And if I look at CeeDee Lamb's, his number was probably closer to 33% of the Dallas Cowboys' targets, and he led football in targets and in catches. So he's a much more important player to that team than Brandon Ayuk is to this team.
I mean, that's what we've been talking about, right? Like, what makes you tick? What's your bread and butter? Brandon Ayuk is a really, really important piece. I don't want to sound dismissive at all. I just don't think that the 49ers view Brandon as their bread and butter. I don't think they view him as the game plan guy. I don't think they view him as a huge leader. I think they view him as a really good, important player.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to sound dismissive, but he just isn't to this team what some of these other receivers are to their team, which probably is what the rub is. That's probably what this is all about. Brandon's got some numbers in his favor. The Niners have some numbers in their favor, and they haven't been able to come to an agreement. But we know too much. We know too much about this one. And someone texted this in earlier, and I wonder what y'all think about this. I did see, and I've seen this from a few 49er fans who have now reached a spot where they're like, even if this works out, and even if a contract is now signed, I find Brandon Ayuk to be much more unlikable than I did before. That's not me. I've heard that from friends, other 49er fans. I'm not going to say that yet, but I also kind of get it. Like, a contract now, like, this has been so talked about that this is going to bleed into the season with the way fans react. If he drops a ball,
that's what I'm saying,
it's
yeah.
going to come up, like, all of that. All of that. This has put a mark on
for sure.
Brandon Ayuk.
It's put a big bullseye on his back, I think, among fans. If he comes out and he has a big fumble, or like you said, a drop, or if he doesn't get thrown to and he throws his hands up and he has a little bit of a moment where it's a tantrum, that definitely is going to rub fans differently than it would have before this whole situation, because we've talked about it day after day after day, and all the reports of him having other offers out there and having the money be bigger than what we possibly would have thought, and yet it wasn't good enough for him, and yet we have this whole thing be dragged out so far, and if he eventually does get a deal, it's going to put a big bullseye on his back, I think.
888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go to Liana in Union City. Hi, Liana. Thanks for calling. What's up?
How are you? I haven't spoken to you guys since the Fremont Bank event.
The great Liana Pons right here with the tasty lumpia.
Yeah, Liana, who is one for one when it comes to a cook bet. But anyway, go ahead, Liana. Great to have you.
So here's what I'm thinking. I'm over the whole BA situation too. So I'm thinking of it as like a lumpia, right? So you need the wrapper and you need the pink, right? But you don't really necessarily need like the little carrots or like the vegetables inside that lumpia, right? That's what I kind of think of him as. Like when Debo went on the Kay Adams show, she asked him straight up, and he didn't say yeah, we need him. Right, he just said, you know, it's not even going to be a point. He's going to be on the team. But I know deep down inside, he knows they don't need Brandon Ayuk to win the Super Bowl, right? And so I think that at this point, it's just like, man, be on our team or get off our team. And I agree with you, Dibs. Like, he is going to have so much pressure on him on Monday night if he does sign, that he's going to just have so much pressure on him. And I honestly don't think he's going to probably regress this year is what I think. So happy Friday, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
To you as well, Liana. Thank we you, hope Liana. To see you at our next Fremont Bank excursion, which is going to be on September 4th.
Yes.
In the middle of Fremont and 39150 Fremont Boulevard, our Red and Gold Summit. If you've never been to one of these, they're a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
You should come see us.
And this one is spectacular at the Fremont Bank building on the roof deck.
Do you think we'll be talking about Brandon Ayuk at all?
I think we might. I wonder if we'll be talking about his contract at that summit. Like, if the contract is going to be signed. I would hope that by then, this whole thing has been put to bed, and we can talk about Brandon Ayuk, the football player.
Wednesday before the season starts is when Bosa signed.
Yeah, this would be...
Same thing.
Is this Thursday? Or this is
Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Wednesday before.
So this would be... Maybe we get breaking news during the summit.
Maybe. You know what I wonder as fans are talking about how they now feel about him? What if the game were tonight? Let's say he signed, right? He signed, but the game was tonight, and the cheerleaders set up the tunnel, and here we're going to announce the offense, and as each player gets announced, they come onto the field. How does Levi Stadium react to Brandon Ayuk? Is it all good?
I think it's all good.
Yeah, as long as he signs?
It's all good as long as he signs, but I do think, and Liana kind of echoed what I was talking about with the pressure, I do think that the amount of patience for his mistakes is going to be a lot less than what it is for other players.
I mean, that's sort of true for the whole team now. I mean, this is what happens. Like, this is going to be a very, very... pressure-packed season for so many of these players.
And I also think when Brock Purdy gets the big bag, he's going to be cast in the same light. When Brock Purdy gets $60 million a year, and he goes out and he has three interceptions in a game, it's going to be a lot more dramatic than it is now.
Although I'd argue that if somebody just signs their contract, we hold their feet to the fire a hell of a lot less. But if you, like, do this, if Trent Williams goes out and gets hurt week one, people are going to hold that against him.
Oh, yeah, soft tissue injury.
If Brandon goes out and gets hurt, people are going to hold that against him, as opposed to if they had just signed in a quiet sort of a way. But, you know, listen, maybe it wasn't available to him. We'll keep taking some calls, 888-957-9570. Join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park, Friday, September 6th, for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament, benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. I want to circle back to the Tom Brady sound coming up next, in addition to more of your calls, because we are heading into what is supposedly a massive Super Bowl hangover. Does that even exist? You'll want to hear what Brady had to say next on Willard and Dibs.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Until I see otherwise, some sort of evidence that losing a Super Bowl the year before directly means you're going to have problems the following year, I'm not going to believe in this. I think that this is disingenuous stats that people love to. When you lose a Super Bowl, you don't do well the next year. Right. Right.
You made an interesting point, and so I did the research on it, and you said, what's the difference between winning a Super Bowl and losing a Super Bowl as it pertains to the hangover? And so I went back in that same 30-year sample, and no fewer than six times did a team win the Super Bowl and then make it back the next year.
Right.
So you play the same number of games, you go through the same rigors of playing into February, you play 60 minutes of a Super Bowl, and if you lose it, well then now, I mean, that's it. The emotions of it, you can't make it back. Only one time has a team made it back, but six times a team that did the exact same thing but happened to score more points than the opponent, well, they were able to make it back to the Super Bowl six times.
Okay, but, like, is that then something that we can actually hang our hat on? Or is that actually, in the grand scheme of things, a pretty small sample? Plus, in some of those cases, at minimum, we're talking about dynastic teams.
Yes.
Chiefs and Patriots.
Exactly. And also, Denver was the other one, I think,
Denver did it, and Seattle did it.
Correct.
Seattle went back again the year
Seattle
after.
Seattle won and then lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Denver won and then won, and the Patriots, you know, they won and they won, they won and they lost, yeah. And the Chiefs, they went, and I think they lost and they won, and then they won and they won, so, I mean, they've been there so many damn times.
But I don't know. I mean, this is what Brady said about it when he was talking on the Stephen A. Smith show.
I think perspective will determine that ultimately when we look back. So in any team in the moment that I would say loses a Super Bowl, how many times have we lost Super Bowl and then the next year the team doesn't make the playoffs? That happens quite a bit. Yeah. And you know why? Because every year you start back at the bottom with everybody else. Whether you win the Super Bowl, whether you finish in 32nd place, you start at the bottom of that mountain that you're trying to climb. And I think someone like the 49ers, for example, they run a great program. I think they have a very good ownership. They have a very good general manager. They have a good head coach. They have a very good quarterback. They have a very good defense and defensive coordinator who they've had. Mm-hmm. And I think those are great fundamentals of what you're looking for to build an organization, those positions.
All right. So to me, that's a little, again, is there something to it? I don't know. Maybe. But to me, that's a little closer to what we're talking about. It's just hard to go back.
Yes.
It's hard.
It's very hard.
It's hard to go when you didn't go the year before, and it's hard to go when you did go the year before.
Well, and it's also hard to go the year after you went when your team doesn't have those components like he's talking about. And I'm looking at some of the Super Bowl losers in the past, and I look at a team like the Arizona Cardinals. They lose to Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl. Well, Arizona, they had a great quarterback who was aging out, and they had Larry Fitzgerald. They didn't have a great coach. They didn't have a great owner, and their structure has been a mess forever. Carolina goes. Same kind of thing. Carolina, they went in 2016. They lost to Denver here at Levi's Stadium. That was a one-off. And Atlanta, when Shanahan famously blew that lead, that was kind of a one-off. So you have all these examples of teams that caught lightning in a bottle. They were good for a year, but they weren't sustainable. So are the Niners going to suffer a Super Bowl hangover? Well, if they do, it's not because of the real reasons that these other teams did. It's because maybe they just get beat.
Yeah, like in other words, if it doesn't go well this year, it's not because they lost the Super Bowl last year.
Right.
It's because sometimes things don't go well. That's what I think. Robin in the city. Let's get some more calls in here. Hi, Robin. What are you doing?
Hi, guys. First of all, it's way late, but happy belated Leo birthday, because I'm a Leo too, dibs, and we have a rock, okay? August 1st was my day. My grandbabies, my sisters, my middle sister, August 5th. My daughter, August 19th, and my son's mother-in-law, she was August 22nd. We have nothing but Leos in our family,
man.
So you know we are raising a lot of hell.
Yes, I was just going to say, Robin, and thank you for the belated wishes. My brother Mike is also a Leo, and so we had a lot of that Leo energy. My wife and my baby girl are both coming up next week. A couple of Virgos, so close, but not quite Leo status.
Really? I got a daughter of Virgo and my grandbaby, the biggest hellraiser of all, August 15th. Guess how old she is? She's three.
Oh,
okay,
man.
Okay, she's running everybody. Hey, guys, I just wanted to say this about this. Didn't the Niners win two Super Bowls back-to-back, 89, 90, 88, something like that?
Word on the street.
Yeah,
word on the street. They did.
Okay, so here's the thing. I don't know about Ayuk. I'm brain dead when it comes to that. I'm tired of it. But I don't believe in Super Bowl hangups because you know why? Each year, first of all, like Brady said, starting from the bottom and teams get better. And then each year, you start over. Like, for instance, you usually don't have the same team. The Niners don't have the same teams last year. I mean, basically, they do what they don't. You know, and I really don't feel that it's Ayuk. And definitely Trent, that's going to cause us a Super Bowl. You know what I feel? I feel that Kyle's philosophy, how he built a team, approach teams, I think that is what keeps us. You know, look, if he kept Weatherspoon too long, Pettis too long. I mean, he's keeping Mitchell too long. He never builds up that offensive line, in particular on the right side. No, I know he's got a rookie. The special teams always look suspect. I mean, come on now. We just concentrate on the defensive line, and the interior wasn't that great. So for me, and you guys might disagree with me, and I want you to tell me why. If you do, I just think it's his personnel sometimes that he selects. He's always looking for the two-for-one Campbell sale. Peace out,
well,
you guys.
Yeah, thanks, yeah. Robin, thank you. I mean, who's never looking for a deal? Everybody always is, but I do disagree. And here's why. I can hear everything you're saying about a roster. She said he's sticking with Eli Mitchell too long. Maybe. I don't even know if Eli Mitchell's going to be on this team
exactly
in 4 days. But when I hear people go line by line about all the roster problems with the Niners, I feel like that means you've got a microscope in your eye. You have to. You can't look at this roster. You may not. I will not allow it. You can't look at this roster and be like, so here's all the problems and here's what Kyle does wrong. And then back up and go, oh, but by the way, they have the best roster in the game. How is this possible? How do I hear from some fans that every draft gets messed up? And how do I hear that Kyle never knows how to pick a receiver? And Kyle never knows how to pick a quarterback? And Kyle never does this and never does that? Oh, by the way, Super Bowl favorite in every game, yeah. Second, third year in a row.
For the last 5 years, you've been in the conference championship at least.
I have no problem if you want to point out deficiencies, but you can't make a sweeping judgment that things are wrong with the roster. They, unless you want to say, here's what they've done wrong, and now here's all of the things that they've done right, and admit that there's more right than wrong.
Yeah, there wouldn't be winning records if you had done more wrong than right. No coach, no player can overcome a roster that's that bad. And I still go back to what the roster was when he took over and look at what it is now. And you had 9 Pro Bowlers last year. And you had the most players voted in the NFL's top 100 a couple of weeks ago before the season. So it's got to tell you something about the roster.
And what are you going to be doing here in a second here, Grandy? Mark Grandy, ladies and gentlemen, coming up here.
The morning show, debating something similar that you guys debated. Can the Niners win a Super Bowl without Brandon Ayuk?
Mm-hmm.
And then your guys' conversation discussing if, so many of us, so many people out there think Brock Purdy's a product of the Niners system. Is Brandon Ayuk?
Is Brandon Ayuk a product
that's
of the system?
Up.
It's such a funny debate, right?
Yeah.
Isn't everybody to a certain degree a product of their system?
Of course.
And then isn't every system somewhat a product of its people?
Absolutely. And, I mean, this station is a great example. Like, the station wouldn't be the same if we weren't here, and we wouldn't be the same if we weren't on the station.
Yeah, it's a good comp. You know,
well,
some are more important than others.
But, yeah, you know. Steph Curry.
All right, here comes Grandy, everybody. This ought to be fun, because you know what today is. It's Friday, so Grandy's assignment is about to get paid off. I feel confident in him again, by the
he's
way.
He's been on a nice little run.
On a run,
he's been delivering.
And he's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I'm busy tomorrow.
How about the day after that?
Baby's birthday.
What about Monday?
I'm free Monday.
Okay.
I'll give you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
2 o'clock, Brandon.
Okay, that's your deadline.
2 o'clock Monday.
Let's go.
Don't you do it. For Dibs, for Grandy, for little teeny tiny portions of Lucas and all of Carter. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.